We rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. Amen. We consider the word of the Lord, which comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. Indeed, he says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each one of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have mercy on his afflicted." This is the word of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth will show forth thy praise. Amen. In Jesus' name, who is, who was, and who is to come, our Savior in flesh and in glory, dear fellow redeemed. Such a small baby. In Simeon's arm was a child no more than 2 months old. You could take a look at Elijah Cameron and get an idea of this small coming of such a great thing. He indeed comes a servant, as our text says. However, as the songs we've been considering in our Wednesday services have shown, God's deeds are anything but small. Mary, Zacharias, and Simeon all sing of something huge, and yet so small in Simeon's hands. In fact, our text says it is too trivial. It is too small a thing for God to be limited in any way. That is the basic definition of God, that he is unlimited. Isaiah sings a song that echoes to the ends of the earth. It's too small for him to be the Savior only to some. It's too small for this king to forever remain a servant. And it's too small for us to remain silent about something so big. Salvation comes as a gift of God's grace. It is universal. This teaching is really central to the foundation of faith itself, because it removes the idea that salvation has anything to do with you or me. Indeed, who would if it did? Who would be saved if it did? As John writes, he himself is the satisfactory payment for our sins, and not ours only, also for the sins of the whole world. Christ's payment knows no limits. It's not dependent on how dedicated you or I are. It, in fact, doesn't even depend on whether you believe. For Christ gave himself for all sin, the whole world, before you and I were even born. It's too small a thing that this servant should be limited to only some. He is salvation to the ends of the earth. Verse 6, indeed he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. That is, to only raise up the tribes of Jacob. The Lord is the Redeemer, meaning he has come to buy back what is lost. As universal as his salvation is, so universal is our need. We see it in our conscience, we see it in our works, but how often do we limit this salvation? So many of the Jews at the time of Jesus' birth were doing just that. They were limiting God. They were making him smaller than he really was. When John the Baptist came, he spoke sternly, saying, do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. The Jews were claiming Abraham as their father, as a ticket to heaven. To think that the basis for our salvation is church membership is foolish. To think that God's salvation is limited only to those in the CLC, or to think that God's salvation is only limited to Lutherans, is to make him smaller than he really is. For his salvation is his great work, not ours. Verse 6 goes on, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. The fact that God chose to extend the salvation beyond the Jews, beyond the tribes of Jacob, beyond the people God, Christ came right to, God's special people, shows us that salvation will not be contingent on church membership, church attendance, or church heritage. It is a gift of grace, something universal. It comes to those who believe. As Simeon himself said, as he held Jesus in his arms, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face, not of some people, but of all peoples. A light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Paul also writes in Ephesians chapter 2, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles becoming one. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. He has abolished in his flesh the law of commandments, making one new man from the two, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, putting to death the hatred. Indeed, breaking down that barrier of the law, which we set up to try to separate ourselves, God has now brought all who believe in Jesus into one body, one holy Christian church. And so Isaiah says, verse 12, these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west. It is too small a thing for him to be Savior to some only. He is a Savior to the ends of the earth. He is a servant of rulers. Isaiah brings out this servant theme, depicting the Messiah as a servant. A servant of subjection, a servant of suffering, a servant who is our Savior. In the famous chapter 53, we read of this, how this servant, the Messiah, would come in no splendor, no grand appearance. He writes that we did not value him. We despised him. He has come in lowliness. And all of this was due to the fact that he was bearing our ugliness, our lowliness, our guilt is upon him. God had chosen him to suffer. And so we read verse 7, to him whom man despises, whom the nations abhor. This lowly coming was God's chosen purpose. Barns and feed troughs. This is what truly makes it glorious. The Lord has brought this servant, as he says in Isaiah 42, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. And that's because through suffering came glory. From suffering to glory. This is the way of the Lord. The one who is despised is also highly exalted. The one who is crucified is also risen. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. A servant of rulers is also a ruler of kings. As it says in verse 7, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also worship. Literally, you should think there, princes shall bow down. It says nothing of whether they do this willingly or not. Kings and princes brought low. Kings are the ones who would normally remain seated while you all stand up, while everyone else rises. And yet here, for the servants, despised and rejected, they stand up and they bow down. The Father has seen the work of his servant. He's preserved him through death to be glorified. Not just from the grave, but from death itself. He has risen to the highest throne. Often this season becomes more about getting stuff than God giving salvation. In fact, every season our flesh is always about getting bigger, rising up. Bigger car, bigger TV, bigger stuff. A bigger good deed. However, we're never bigger enough. We're never bigger enough to get ourselves to heaven, to rise above the one who is exalted. Whether it's a king, a prince, or just a good person, we can never rise above death. It's something every person will face, to which every knee will bow. It is the acceptable time, verse 8. Paul quotes this verse 8 in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Literally, this is the time of God's favor. Sometimes we call it a time of grace. It's the time where all things have been fulfilled, and here you are. From birth to death. A time to live under God's grace, where the message of salvation has come. All things are complete. There's no reason to wait. Now is the time to bow before the glorious salvation that has been revealed to us. And we do just that. When we come to church, when we confess our sins, we are bowing our knee to the one who has redeemed us. When we ask forgiveness from a spouse or a friend or a coworker, we're bowing our knee to something greater, a higher level of holiness that we've never reached. We stand in this grace even now as the word is preached, as forgiveness comes to you, the covenant of Christ, the inheritance spoken of. You're the prisoners to whom God cries, go forth. Indeed, in chapter 1 of Isaiah, this servant comes saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. He's chosen me to preach the good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. In this quotation from Isaiah 61, Jesus speaks both of the day of favor and the day of vengeance. And that's because to us now, this coming is a day of favor, a day of grace. It's peace on earth and goodwill to all people. And yet, it's not a day to take for granted. It's not a time to put off tomorrow what's laying right before us today. Because to those who think bigger is something they're going to achieve in their works, the last day will be a day to bow. A day to bow to vengeance. For it is the acceptable time, and the day of vengeance comes to all those who do not believe. So this gift of freedom is ours. It is to go forth in peace. It's to know that Christ counted you worth more than his own divine rights to heaven. It's a proclamation of good tidings, so that we no longer bigger ourselves in our works, we're bigger than life itself in Christ. We've been given God's kingdom, and we bow our knee in love and thankfulness. Go forth. It's no small thing that this has come to you in the acceptable time. It's no small thing that the Holy Spirit has caused you to believe. This is too small for me to remain silent. Did you know the FCC is trying to place a ban on commercials that are too loud? Have you ever noticed how sometimes you're watching a show at one level, and then the commercials come on? And they always have to crank up the volume a little bit to try to grab your attention. And they think if it's flashy enough, it's loud enough, they're going to get your attention away from the regular show you're watching. They'll maybe cause you to stop skipping forward with your DVR so you can watch this commercial. The world is full of people tuning into one way of thinking. And it's also full of commercials. It's full of messages encouraging you to do better, to do what feels good, to make a name for yourself. And it thinks if we can make these things flashy enough or loud enough, that you'll start paying attention. And we do. These commercials shout. Unlike TV commercials, we're not in the business of being flashier or louder or more appealing to people's attention. The effectiveness of God's message is not the volume, but the content. It's the still small word of the voice. The still small voice of the word that tears at our heart, that strips us bare of relying on ourselves and gives us what we need the most. It changes our heart. Verse 13, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, break out in singing, O mountains. It's to sing by example. The heavens declare the glory of God simply by doing what he intended, living the splendor he has given to the heavens, the earth, the mountains. That's how they sing. You too live in the splendor of God, the splendor for which he has bought you back from sin. And so Jesus says, let your light shine. No one hides a lamp under a basket. For these things are given that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Meaning the whole spectrum of God's creative work has come in you and filled you. Verse 9, say to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Step out of the darkness. Cast off the sins that bind you. Lay them before the light of Jesus. The confession and absolution that we've been using in our Wednesday services come from 1 John, which says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Step into that light of the fellowship of this blood of Christ. Step into the light where we share a faith that believes what God has declared and confesses it. For he has declared all of you righteous for Jesus' sake, universally. Together we share a path illuminated by heaven itself. And that's our destiny. Nothing could be bigger. Such a small baby. Simeon held something not bigger than these two hands. And yet something so small to our eyes has become so big to our hearts. The word has revealed a salvation that's too small to be contained. It won't be contained within a place or a certain people. It's to the ends of the earth. It won't be contained by a servant that only suffers. It is a servant glorified, a ruler of kings. And it won't be contained within these walls either. For this song is too big to say here. It's bigger than anything else that ever comes. Let us pray. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Amen.